It's an honor and privilege to be able to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and trust that as you have gathered this day to worship, that God will send His Spirit to continue to bless us in great measure. Our speaker, I think most of you are familiar with Paul. Him and his wife Kathy have been attending here for some time now, and I'm looking forward to Paul sharing the spoken word with us. So I would ask on his behalf an interest in your prayers. For scripture reading, I have chosen to share with you from the Psalms 100, one that many of you probably know by heart, but I think it's very appropriate in this time of Thanksgiving that we be reminded of it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's continue with the singing of hymn number 511. Will you stand?
This day gathered in your name, seeking praise and worship unto you. Lord, I just pray that at this time you would open your servant's mouth, that your words might flow through him to the benefit of the congregation sitting here this day. I pray that we would listen to the words he has to say and be not just hearers of the words, but become doers as well. Take the words which you speak through him and apply them in our lives, and carry your spirit with us as we leave this place. Just once again ask for the outpouring of your spirit to this body. I praise you and thank you for all that you do. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
raise this up so you can hear me. I have a scripture reading today. Our focus of our time together is going to be in the Old Testament. We're going to focus on chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Numbers. For each section I'm going to read throughout our time together, I put little titles on each one. The title for the scripture reading is what I call the mission. And it's going to be, we're going to be reading from verse 1 through, and various verses from 1 through 20 of Numbers chapter 13 for those who would like to follow along. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. And all those men were heads of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Reuben. And I'm not necessarily going through the names, but I'm going through the tribes. Of the tribe of Simeon, of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Issachar, of the tribe of Ephraim, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, of the tribe of Dan, of the tribe of Asher, of the tribe of Naphtali, and of the tribe of Gad. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities it be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. So that was the mission that 12 fathers, one of each tribe, who were considered to be the head and the rulers over each tribe, this is the mission in which they set upon. And when we come back together, we will focus upon the report of these 12 individuals.
Notice in your bulletin it says ministry and music is being provided by you, and we're just kind of here to help guide you through that. You'll find on your bulletin the order of worship, and then you turn over to the other side. It'll be the words to the songs that you're going to be singing with us. The first part is a thank you, Lord, and we sang it last year for those who might remember it, but if you don't remember, it's a pretty simple tune, and I think you'll pick it up pretty quick. The other is a real familiar Thanksgiving hymn we gather together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things.
Thank you.
the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
Given to the 12 rulers or the head of each tribe, and we're going to determine the report of the 12 men who were set upon this journey and see what they have to say. So we're going to pick up on Numbers chapter 13. We're going to pick up on the 25th verse for those who would like to follow along. Those who know that when I give messages, I kind of use the scriptures a lot to let the scriptures provide the importance of the story and the message that we're given. So I've entitled this piece called The Report. And they returned for searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit in it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land on the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, who was of the tribe of Judah, stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched until the children of Israel, saying, the land, though we had gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And of all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw all the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So here we have a report where two gave a report, a positive report, and the other 10 gave a very negative report. And now this is what I've entitled, as we go to Numbers 14, the people's response. And all the congregation lifted up their voice, and the people wept that night. And the people of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb, which were with them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are not, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And all the congregation bade, which means commanded or directed, for stones, to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So we'll take a little break there and realize that these people were willing to kill Caleb and Joshua then listen to the words of exhortation. And it's interesting because it shows examples of how Caleb and Joshua are examples of sometimes faithful followers of God must be prepared to face adversity, and they must be prepared to stand alone many times when they're revealing the truth. For we know that there are some who would rather oppose God's followers than submit to God's will. And so Caleb and Joshua, they had the courage to be able to stand with God, even if it means standing alone. And the other thing I received from that is that look at the brotherhood that was received between Caleb and Joshua, knowing that a standing together as brothers against the truth that they known to be sure, that that was a brotherhood of love that they shared their entire lifetime. So now this next section here in verse 11 is what I've entitled the Lord's response. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they. And then this next section, starting with verse 13, is what I've titled Intercession Again. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people, that they might be from among them. Now if thou kill all this people as one man, then the nations which had heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and is of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. I say that this was, again, because this was the second intercession that Moses had done on behalf of the people. If you recall, the first intercession was done in Exodus 32 when the people of Israel created the golden calf while Moses was in the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. And so if you get a chance sometime, I would like to have you read Exodus 32, as that will, you'll see pretty much word for word that the same type of situation happened where God was angry with the people and Moses submitted to provide intercession on behalf of the people. But the people of Israel were not the first ones that had an intercession on their behalf. We had a situation that occurred in Ether where this occurred as well with the Jaredites. And for those who have their scriptures, we're going to go over to the Book of Mormon. And we're going to be in Ether chapter 1. We're going to be starting with the 62nd verse. Now this is a situation where the brother of Jared had was instructed to build barges that was to take him into the promised land. And of course this was after Ether, the brother of Jared of course, was chastened by the Lord for his slowness to respond to the Lord. And after he had repented, the Lord was working through the brother of Jared to come up with a way to be able to light their way, light the barges as they go across the great deep. And in this situation where, in this reasoning, where the brother of Jared is, he put together these 16 stones. And in the process of doing that, he made an intercession on behalf of his people. And I think you'll find it to be very familiar with the one that Moses provided. Now behold, O Lord, and do not be angry with thy servant because of his weakness before thee. For we know that thou art holy and dwellest in the heavens, and that we are unworthy before thee. Because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us commandments that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. Behold, O Lord, thou hast smitten us because of our iniquity, and hast driven us forth, and for these many years we have been in the wilderness. Nevertheless, thou hast been merciful unto us. O Lord, look upon me in pity, and turn away thine anger from this thy people. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So we see that it wasn't only the situation where it was the people of Israel, but it was also a situation where the brother of Jared, and every group, we've seen it in the Book of Mormon, we've seen it in many ways where there was intercession given on behalf of the people. Now we know that the times in which they were, the time that they were in their wilderness, there was a period of years that the Jaredites were in the wilderness as well. So let's go ahead and come back to where we were. And we're going to be focusing now on the response that, you know, basically what the Lord has to say. We're going to pick up with verse 20. Of Numbers 14. And this is the what I call the pardon. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And then this, the next section is the judgment. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because of all these men who had seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted thee now these 10 times, which I thought was interesting. I kind of underlined that for future study. Tempted me now these 10 times. I don't really know significance of the 10, but anytime I see a number, I'm always curious. It has to mean something. And have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken into mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses shall be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of days which ye have searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Interesting, I saw that breach of promise and I was curious about it, so I looked up a simple definition of breach of promise, and one breach of promise definition basically says it's the dumping of a female fiance by an intended husband after he has proposed marriage and she had accepted. Which is interesting because we know that the Lord is the groom, and we know that Israel was considered to be the bride, and we know that she had been invited for the wedding. And so I thought that was interesting to see that in the scriptures, breach of promise, and it relates directly, doesn't it, to what we see as a definition. Picking up with verse 35, And I, the Lord, had said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, though they shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua and Caleb, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. One of the things that I wanted to remind you about is that the 10 that gave the evil report, do you remember who they were? These were the rulers of the tribes, and these were the head of the tribes. These were not the most negative. These were not just randomly picked people, one from each tribe. These were considered to be the rulers of each tribe, and these were considered to be the head. And so it shows that we as a responsibility for any of us who were considered to be the head or a ruler, whether it be in the family or whether it be in the priesthood or be in the church, that we have a great responsibility, because it was the report of those men. It was the way in which they pictured the ability to be able to go forth and conquer our enemies. It was the message that they gave that disheartened the people. And we have to be very, very careful. We have a stewardship. We have a responsibility to make sure that we have a different spirit within us, as Caleb and Joshua did, recognizing that we have to come before the Lord, that if he commands and if he knows something is going to happen, that we will make sure that we want to give a good report so that we do not dishearten the people and give a negative response. So I'm going to go ahead and shift over to Deuteronomy for those who would like to come with me there. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit more and talk about some of the things that happened. A little bit of a summary, but a little bit more information comes out as well. So this is the little section I've titled Reflection, and it's in Deuteronomy. We're going to start with chapter 1, verse 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord hath given him in commandment unto them, Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and to their seed after them. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God hath sent unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Now he's giving a little bit of history here. And he came, and you came unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall send us out the land, and bring us word again, by which way we should go up, and what cities we shall come. And the sayings pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater than taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, when thou hast seen that the Lord thy God has bared thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the ways that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went the way before you to search out and to place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you which way you should go, and a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation to see that good land which I sware to give unto their fathers, save Caleb. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord was angry with me, and this is Moses speaking, saying that thou shalt not go up into thither. But Joshua, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So that takes us into Deuteronomy chapter 2, and this little section is what I would entitle Paying the Time for the Crime. So basically in verse 1 it simply says, And we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we encompassed Mount Seir for many days. So for 40 years the people of Israel wandered in the deserts. Probably in some way, in some situations, they actually stayed in places for several years. We don't have a lot of detailed history of that 40 years to know what their daily agenda was. But we know that God had this for a purpose, his own divine purposes. And we know that it took this long for the Lord to chasten them because of their murmurings and their unbelief. But there's two things I think that helped with this situation. Two things I know that the Lord had prepared and had known that was needed for this period of time. One, it was to prepare the people for Canaan. It would take some time for them to be humbled by their sin. It would take some time for them to realize that they needed to put their trust and faith in the Lord God. And it would take some time for them to prepare their souls for heaven. But there was another purpose here. The other purpose was that he prepared the Canaanites for their destruction. This is true that they've had this time in which the Canaanites could have repented, could have come to the knowledge of the Lord, but they used this time to harden their hearts. And as a result of this, they also had a false pretense that the Israelites were lost in the wilderness. And because of that, the Canaanites had dropped their guard, they had dropped their defenses, and they basically done something that you never do with an enemy, and that is you make an assumption that they're no longer a threat. And it's because of that, thinking that they were secure and out of danger, that the Israelites was able, by the power of the Lord, was able to come upon them and to take the land when it was time. And then in verse 7 of Deuteronomy it says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." And then I want to read from Nehemiah chapter 9. And he kind of goes through and talks a little bit about some of this experience in the wilderness as well. And I'm going to pick up with verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 9, I'm going to pick up with verse 12. "Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light by the way in which they should go. And I gave them bread from heavens for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which they had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Yea, when thou hast made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God, has brought thee up out of Egypt, and has wrought great provocations, yet in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day, to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night, to show them light, and the way in which when they should go. Thou givest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not the manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou givest them the kingdom and the nations, and didst divide them into corners, so that they possessed the land. Their children multiplied as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it." So what wonderful blessings of the Lord that the Lord had provided. But I want to talk a little bit about something that we kind of just over, that we didn't focus on back in Numbers chapter 13. Do you remember when we talked about the giants? Remember they said in verse 32 of Numbers 13 that they brought up an evil report. And they said that the land eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that they saw were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now there's a lot of symbolism for giants. Many of us have got giants today that are stalking everywhere, that impede our path and give us great difficulty. They're in our families, they're in our church, they're in our workplaces, they're in our health, they're in financials, there are so many things that, as the people said, they will overcome them and eat them up. These giants of our day have a tendency to do the same thing. Because as they said of the old, of the giants of Canaan, you know, that they will come and to eat us up. 10 people saw giants, but Caleb and Joshua saw God. In other words, we will be stronger by overcoming that if there was, we'll be stronger by overcoming them if we have giants in our path. If we don't have giants to overcome, then we will lose heart. It is when we're in the way of duty that we will find the giants. You know, when we see something afar away, it doesn't look all that very large, but as we get closer to it, it seems to get larger and larger and looms in our sight, and sometimes becomes a giant. It's when we're in the way of the duty that we find the giants, because here's the interesting thing, that when Israel was going forward, that's when they encountered the giants in their lives. But when they turned back into the wilderness, the giants were no longer to be found. There are a lot of giants that we've seen that many people in the scriptures have overcome. If you remember, and we won't take time to go through all these, but if you remember that of the 12 men that went out, only two, Caleb and of Judah and Joshua of Ephraim, gave a good report. That's one out of six that had another spirit to be with them. And we know that many in the Old Testament, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and Moses, and so many others have had a different spirit. But yet that also we found that to happen in a little shepherd boy in the book of Samuel that tells us that the soldiers of Israel's army saw Goliath as a 9.9 giant that they did not want to fight. David, through the eyes of another spirit, saw him for what he really was when he asked, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should deny the armies of the living God?" David demonstrated complete trust in the Lord with these words: "The Lord that delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paws of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." And we find that when David was looked at initially to be king, Samuel didn't recognize the king, but the Lord told Samuel, that the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature. For the Lord seeth not man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so we see that there were many others in the Old Testament and in the Book of Mormon who had the same spirit. We've seen what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they would not worship the golden image. We saw the giants that they had to face in their life. And we saw that those three defied the king's orders and took a stand, just like Joshua and Caleb. And as a result, they did not escape adversity, but they were put into a fire. But the fire had no power on them. Not a hair of their head was singed, neither were the quartz changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. And so we know that the Lord protects those who stand for his cause. We know that Daniel also was in a position to where he also was attacked. And because he went to the Lord his God when there was a decree given out in which he was not to pray to the Lord, we know that Daniel defied the king's orders and prayed to the Lord three times, pointing toward Jerusalem from his window. And we know it's because of that that he was cast into the lion's den. And we know that the Lord preserved him. And so there's just so many examples. And the latter day example is one in which came from the times and season in July 15th of 1844. Joseph Smith was murdered in cold blood in Carthage jail on Thursday, the 27th of June. He was one of the best men that ever lived on the earth. The work that he had thus far performed, preparing the way for the great gathering of Israel in the short space of 20 years since the time when the angel of the Lord made known his mission and gave him power to move the cause of Zion, exceeds anything of the kind on record. Without learning, without means, and without experience, he met a learned world, a rich century, a hard-hearted, wicked generation, whose truth could not be resisted, facts that could not be disproved, revelations whose spirit had so much God in them that the servants of the Lord could not be gainsaid or resisted. The pages of Smith's history, though his enemies never ceased to persecute him and hunt for offenses against him. They are unsullied as Virginia, as virgin snow. On about 50 prosecutions for supposed criminal offenses, he came out of the legal fire, heated like Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, 7 times hotter than it was to be, without the smell of fire or a thread of his garments scorched. His foes of the world and enemies of his own household, his giants, if you will, and he faced many giants, sought occasions against him in order secretly to deprive him of his life, because of his goodness, greatness, and glory exceeded theirs, having a poor excuse to offer the world for shedding his innocent blood and no apology to make the judge of all the earth all the day of judgment. They have murdered him because they feared his righteousness. So we see that there are many who had that spirit that Caleb and Joshua had. Now I want to pick up and read a little bit in Joshua 14 about Caleb's reward. We're going to read in Joshua 14, starting with verse 7. "40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 45 years old. We know that he was, since he was 40 years old, and we know his score is 20, we know that he was 85 years old. Verse 11, he says, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim was there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If it so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron was therefore became the inheritance of Caleb unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." And we know that to be the greatest commandment, because he wholly followed the Lord his God with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength. So it's interesting character lesson regarding Caleb, because Caleb, he basically was forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So despite the fact that he was faithful, he still had to suffer because of the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel. The steadfastness of Caleb's commitment to God during this troubling years is a great testament to his character. It shows that it is indeed difficult sometimes to stay the course when others bring undeserved heartache and problems to us. Through all this, however, Caleb never blamed God, but simply trusted God and waited for the day when he would be allowed to cross over to the promised land. Even in his twilight years, Caleb still possessed a different spirit. Caleb's life illustrates for us that there is no retirement plan for those who has a desire to do in the Lord's work. At age of 85, Caleb returned to the borders, which was soon to be the land of his inheritance, and soon to be a land of the people of God. When the Lord challenged was offered to him in his old age, Caleb did not hesitate and gladly accepted it. Joshua, too, was given a reward in Joshua chapter 1, for we know that when Moses, the servant, was dead, we know that Joshua was given the instruction to go over this Jordan and to take the people which I had given them, even the children of Israel, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever that thou goest. So who is going to be the Caleb and the Joshua of our generation? Have we not wandered in our wilderness for many years now? We see that because of the faithfulness of Caleb and Joshua and others, that they had to wait patiently for the time in which the Lord would allow for them to enter into their land of promise. But we see that disobedience and lack of faith means that they were sent back into the wilderness. They had to suffer. They had to learn by the things which they suffered. So we've too have been in our wilderness for a long time, just as other people have been. However, we also have been given a promise. We've also been given a vision of a land of promise given to us. And although it's perhaps the reason why we're in our wilderness is where the Lord is continually still striving for us to be a patient people, one in which he needs to mold. And perhaps as it took 40 years in the wilderness for the people to be ready to enter into their land of inheritance, the Lord is preparing our hearts for us to be able to enter into ours. Perhaps he is preparing us for the one mighty and strong latter-day Joshua that will deliver us and take us over our Jordan into Zion, when the courage to conquer any enemies or giants are removed that are in our path. So I'd like to read a couple closing scriptures for you. A couple of these are in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. And these are just words of encouragement. For God will not forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And skipping to chapter 10 of Hebrews, I'm going to read 35 through 38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then for the closing, my final scripture is a beautiful scripture in Doctrine and Covenants, section 38. I'm going to be reading 4b through 4f for those who would like to follow. And ye are blessed, not because of your iniquity, neither your hearts of unbelief. For verily some of you are guilty before me, but I will be merciful unto your weaknesses. Therefore be ye strong from henceforth. Fear not, for the kingdom is yours, and for your salvation. I give unto you a commandment, for I have heard your prayers. And the poor have complained before me, and the rich have I made, and all flesh is mine. And I am no respecter of persons. And I have made the earth rich, and behold, it is my footstool. Wherefore again will I stand upon it. And I will hold forth and deign to give unto you greater riches, even the land of promise. A land flowing with milk and honey, upon which there shall be no curse when the Lord cometh. And I will give it unto you for your land of your inheritance, if you seek it with all your hearts. And this shall be my covenant with you. Ye shall have it for a land of your inheritance, and for the inheritance of your children forever, while the earth shall stand, and ye shall possess it again in eternity, no more to pass away. I would hope that as we are in our wilderness, we know that there is a land of inheritance to come. And it is my prayer that we would be faithful as Caleb was faithful, that we would bear and have that spirit with us, recognizing that the opportunity for us to enter into our land of inheritance will come. We know the Lord will come forth and provide. We know that there are giants in front of us, that the Lord will fight our battles for us. It is my prayer that we will, as leaders of our families, of our churches, that we will always have a positive report. A report that would not discourage the heart, but a report that would encourage the heart to stay the course, to have an opportunity of recognizing that the Lord will deliver us and provide us the way.
Thank you, Paul. Let's continue with the singing of hymn number 398. You stand.
Thank you for the message that was presented to us tonight or today. I would pray that there be no shortage of giants in our lives, but that there might be challenges in front of us that can strengthen us, and that as we overcome them, we too would earn our spot on the mountain and earn our inheritance on the mountain of Zion. That we might dwell there with you. I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.